We'll percolate with the September 14 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning September 14, 2007, this is the Rain Report, the weekly analog ham radio program service of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm the irrepressible and humble Byron Lee, KC9EEK. As of September 14th, we tearfully bid farewell to DXing on the AM broadcast band with the FCC's adoption of HDR, high-definition radio rules governing IBOC, in-band on-channel technology that forces analog and digital radio signals to coexist on a co-channel basis on the AM broadcast band. I like to call it, it bothers other channels. It's not just commercial broadcast radio that's dealing with these incompatible technologies. It's also television and even amateur radio. Just ask Fred Vobey, W8HDU. Besides being employed by WLIO Television in Lima, Ohio, Fred is the producer of the long-running National Radio Club's DX Audio Service magazine. Fred spoke during the Beginner's Look at the Digital Future of Amateur Radio 2007 Dayton Hamvention Ham Radio Town Meeting.
We are in the middle of a digital revolution, and I'm sure Bill has the same problems out on the West Coast as we have in Ohio. I guess the best way of putting it, digital hell comes to mind. We've had so many problems with digital broadcasting, just trying to get acclimated, get people switched over. And here is the funny thing about this. The public is clueless. We have digital stations coming on the air, resulting in interference issues. Our station, for example, is on Channel 8. We're one of the lucky ones that went from a UHF down to a VHF. In doing so, we encountered an interesting problem of what's called cable ingress, where our signal gets into the cable system. Now, I didn't think it was going to be that bad until all the people that were watching the Channel 8 cable started calling us, because the cable company says, you go talk to them. They're the ones doing it. Now, luckily, there's precedents in the communications that allow us to kind of get a pass on this. We just tell them to tighten up their taps and go about their merry way. But, unfortunately, we have to deal with the calls. Now, this digital broadcasting, which is coming about, in the past we've had like AmTOR and Packet and stuff, and I'll have to admit that I've not worked those modes. However, I expressed some interest. I am getting interested in WinDRM, so we'll see how that goes. But coming from a nearly 40-year career in broadcasting, I can see some parallels between ham radio and our business. Let's put it this way. We're still going to be dealing with some of these things by the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. At WLIO, our channel is 35 with 661,000 watts of smoke and power. Our coverage extends down here to Montgomery County. We also get into Bell Fountain, Ohio, which is Logan County. But when WLWTDT, a digital station in Cincinnati, came on the air, also on Channel 35, we started to experience some interesting problems with our signal. Now, we started getting viewer calls. We started getting cable companies calling us, asking us this question: have you cut your power? Now, it's not that we've cut our power. Our analog signal was being QRM by WLWT. What it actually showed up with was a noise in the video and a hiss in the audio. Now, we measured the signal levels at Bell Fountain, Ohio, and we found that WLWT-DT was putting in about 6 dB lower signal than our carrier. However, this translated to an 18 dB loss in respective signals. So in other words, it looked like to the viewer and to the cable company like we went from 661,000 watts down to only 10 kilowatts. And believe me, it's killing us, because Logan County was one of our primary areas. In ham radio, we have those same perceptions and impressions. Now, if you're an AMer or an SSB user, you've probably encountered one of those digital signals on the air, and your impression is that you either have been getting a lot of atmospheric noise, or whoever you're talking to is just having a transmitter problem. And in most cases, some people just crank up the power and go about their merry way. Now, analog hams really do need to know about their digital neighbors, and I think our digital ham friends need to know about their analog neighbors. And due diligence is not practiced by a few, then all of us in this room are going to suffer. It's going to spread like wildfire. Another issue that we have, not necessarily on the same frequency with each other, is what's called an adjacent frequency noise. In DTV service, the FCC actually did something wise, they required us DTV stations to use a mask filter. Now, a mask filter looks at our carrier frequency, and anything in excess of 3 megahertz above or below the carrier is suppressed at 60 dBc. So you don't have the problems with the adjacent channel interference. However, to those of you in the room that have dealt with the dreaded IBOC and other modes, know what happens when you introduce digital into an analog world, and it's not pleasant. As a member of the National Radio Club, we've dealt with the IBOC situation very fluently on our magazine, and I've taken a lot of calls from people who have expressed some remorse, shall we say, in it happening. And myself, I'm even suppressed from hearing my Blessed Tigers on WJR 760 because occasionally the interference will come into Lima, Ohio. WJR is a fantastic radio station, 50 kilowatts non-directional. Boy, you can't beat it. But as soon as you get interference coming in on 750 and 770, your little radio just can't contend with it, and it becomes a pain in the tail to listen to. The interference issues are going to really eat us up again if we don't watch what we're doing. We just have to be conscious of things.
You're listening to a veteran of the broadcast industry, Fred Vobey, W8HDU, discussing the inherent challenges facing the co-channeling of analog and digital radio signals on the commercial broadcast bands, and on amateur radio, too. We'll bring you the conclusion of Fred's talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available as a digital download and podcast from therainreport.com for transmission on your local repeater or simplex net.
In experimenting around with WinDRM with a friend of mine, I found that simply by not having the correct type of power meter could cause me a lot of problems as well. For example, a new operator might drive one of these devices, one of these radios. Let's just take the radio I use. I use an FT-857D. You might just take and plug in your audio into the thing, and you crank up your modulation, and then you crank up your power, and you just start transmitting. Well, guess what? It's not that easy to do. In fact, you increase your power to 100 watts on that rig, and you read about 50 to 80 watts on your Bird 43 or your Calrad VSWR meter that you got at the last CB Trade Fest. Surprise, neither meter responds to peaks, so you get a little bit of a false reading. Now, the result when I did this test was that 3 kilohertz away, I was interjecting into an AM signal about 12 dB of noise. So you can imagine how the guy next to me would be a little bit cheesed when he hears me coming over with that hiss. At 6 kilohertz away, I put about 6 dB of noise into that AM signal. So if this was on a band which was propagating, imagine what I'd be doing in my little 12 kilohertz of spectrum that I'm using to some other hams. So we go back to the drawing board. When the digital transmitter was set up properly, 857D set to 100 watts, using an actual peak reading watt meter, we turn up the input, we get a reasonable 60 watts on the peak meter, we get real good results and no interference. By the way, when we did this measurement on the peak meter, our little Calrad meter was reading 8 watts. So if the Calrad was reading 60 watts, that explains why the Yaesu was getting a little hot. Here's your sign. Well, having the correct test equipment and the correct method for setting it up does help, and I would urge every ham who tries out some of these digital modes to read up on this before you just actually plod along with this. Our real-life impression of digital is that it's going to be here to stay, and I think that a lot of hams are going to be more acclimated to using digital modes once the analog give-back of television occurs. By the way, does anybody know what date that is? Raise your hand if you know the specific date. February 17th of 2009. That's when all your TV broadcasters will turn off their analog transmitters and hams will be lined up at the back door ready to get equipment. And if any of you guys want an RCA TTU-30D, bring your dump truck. We've got a lot of experience at our plant in putting up digital. In the state of Ohio, we were the first digital TV station to be completely put together on our final channel. And we've had a lot of time to go out into the field and kind of play around with receivers. We've tested signal issues between, say, Channel 7 and Channel 8, our channel, and 9. We've also done some testing to see how good some of the receivers are that are on the market. Here's a clue, not two. There's a few stinkers on the market. There's a few good ones. What I would suggest that any hams do, if you're going to get into buying a digital TV set, see if you can test drive it, put an antenna on it, and try it out and see how well it works for over the air before you actually buy it. Same way with converter boxes. But in going back to digital ham radio, read up on it. Study it real well. If you have some Elmers around that you can kind of lean on and see how they're doing it, it's well worthwhile, because from what I've seen of digital, it is a pretty good mode. And I have to agree with the proponents of trying to find a little piece of spectrum just for digital. Unless we can get to a point where we have a way to know where our analog neighbors are at, we really need a portion of the band for ourselves.
The thoughts of veteran radio and television broadcaster Fred Vobey, W8HDU, employed by WLIO Television in Lima, Ohio, and producer of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service magazine. Fred spoke during the Beginner's Look at the Digital Future of Amateur Radio 2007 Dayton Hamvention Ham Radio Town Meeting. Parts 1 and 2 of this series can be found on the RAIN archive page at www.therainreport.com. and via telephone as a courtesy of Uttle Systems at 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2007 RAIN. All rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, and the rest of us disenfranchised AM radio DXers, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you very 73. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.